The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Hey, do you consider yourself stylish? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you're wearing something you shouldn't be wearing right now. You know what I mean. Coming up next, the editor of GQ Style magazine. GQ Style! Will Welch, editor-in-chief. Up next, Free For All.
This is Free For All from the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
This is Jason here at the Free For All. Jim Cherusmi is, I can't even get Jim to come to the studio anymore. I'm going to look into why he's boycotting this show. But joining me is my friend and somebody I've quoted and referred to many times over the course of my sports writing career, who is now the big boss man. His name is Will Welch, and he is the newly installed editor-in-chief of a brand new magazine called GQ Style. Will Welch.
That's right. Thanks,
welcome
Jason.
To the free-for-all.
I'm happy to be free-falling.
yeah. Hey, some breaking news for you since you are a native of Atlanta. Atlanta just got the Super Bowl for 2019. So plan that GQ style Super Bowl party.
We better start planning now and raising money for it.
Who do you think? I mean, you know, you're inclined to say future young thug for the party, but like, you know, who is going to be future and young thug in 2019? Well, we don't know this.
Knowing Atlanta, you know, every 3 months it's somebody else. So I'm going to wait.
You have been to a number of these GQ Super Bowl parties over the years. Which one was the best one? Was it Wayne in New Orleans?
Yeah, I think Little Wayne in New Orleans.
And what time did he go on?
I don't remember. Midnight for like 18
minutes. Midnight
18
is not
minutes.
So bad.
Yeah,
for
not so
minutes.
Bad. Wayne pulls the bus right up to the stage so that he doesn't have to leave his bubble, and then he walks on. You know, a stage is just a stage. So he keeps it inside the bubble.
And then you guys had a big all-star game party last year when the all-star game for the NBA was in New York, right?
Yes, for New York and for New Orleans before that.
And you co-hosted with LeBron, right?
Yeah,
and what does that mean that you call LeBron up and you're like, LeBron, you know, what do you think of these play settings?
Basically you talk to Maverick Carter and he relays all that stuff.
Are they detail-oriented over there?
Detail-oriented, yeah, but no, they trust GQ, though, to get that stuff right.
Do you get it right?
Of course.
You ever screw it up?
No.
All right.
The best part was the music of those. We got the Roots to do a jam session and then had different people booked to jump up on stage. Those things were fun.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do
fun.
It again.
Yeah, you're full of regret already for taking this new job, I can tell, because you had this great life at GQ, and now you're the boss, and with becoming the boss, just these heavy shoulders, everyone coming to you with a complaint, right?
I got no regrets whatsoever. It's the most fun I've ever had in my whole life. Best 5 months of my life.
So why GQ Style? Okay, now, to fully come clean, I worked at GQ Magazine for 6 years, which were known
Thank
really
you. I was
as
wondering
the,
if you were going to say
the
anything.
Zenith of the GQ run. Why GQ Style? You know, I think of GQ as already a stylish magazine, of course, but why this additional title, which will be published quarterly?
Yeah, four times a year on really nice paper, and it's $14.99 at newsstand. The idea is we focus on the kind of lifestyle, all the style topics, so fashion, interior design, travel, art, all that stuff. And by just looking at those topics, we can really go in depth on them.
And, you know, is this kind of a keepsake? Will I hang on to these issues? Of course I hang on to all my GQs.
Of course.
But this heavy paper stock makes me think it'll be sitting on my shelf for many years and I can refer to its timeless advice.
I hope so. Yeah, my hope is that it goes from your briefcase to your coffee table to your shelf.
Passed on through the generations.
Through the generations, the wisdom and knowledge, yeah.
You know, before taking this job, you were a style editor for many years with GQ. What is something, Will Welch, that you may regret? This is a recurring feature in GQ for decades, GQ regrets, but is there something you advised men across this planet to wear that you might have thought, maybe not the best call?
It's going to be interesting to see how sneakers with a suit ages.
Yeah.
That one's very Jason Gay relevant.
Yes,
we have photo
yes.
documentation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in 20 years, what's that going to look like? And then
you're going to look like Paul Simon and Steve Martin.
Yeah, absolutely. and then the other one I would just say is, I feel like in order to get America out of giant ill-fitting suits, we went extremely tight.
This is true. Okay. People have gotten the message to not wear the big blousy shirts and blousy suits and things like that. like that. But did we go too narrow?
But if we did, and I think that maybe time will say we went a little bit narrow, I think it will have been worth it because it definitely seems to have pulled everyone back.
Now, in my closet,
I notice a difference.
In my closet, I have some suits that, in addition to the fact that they're narrow, and I'm not as narrow a human as I was, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, the jackets are quite short.
Yeah.
We were wearing these kind of like, you know, maitre d' type suit coats for a while there. They've lengthened, I imagine, since then.
I think they're starting to head back that way. Tom Ford says your coat should always cover your butt. I think that's pretty good advice.
I think that's really good advice. Yeah. He told me...
Hey, watch it now.
Tom Ford told me...
Tom said, you know, Jason.
You know, he said, you know, Jason. That, you know, because everyone gives him credit with widening lapels. You know, the menswear went through this period of, like, really, really, really tightening up the lapels. And Tom Ford said, no. And went to these big, wide Warren Beatty at the, you know, 1973 Oscars lapels. But he told me that he's going back to skinny lapels.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I thought Tom Ford would be the forever, the sort of bravissimo, wide, sex appeal lapel.
Yeah.
Maybe he's zagging because others are zigging.
Now, your team, are you guys lean and mean, or you have a staff of thousands?
Oh, very lean, very mean.
It's kind of good that way, though, right?
I'm really enjoying it. It feels under control. And at four times a year, there's a little less pressure on the churn.
Now, do you have anything to do with the mothership still, or are you kind of separate, physically separate, you know, aesthetically?
I sit on the same floor, okay. And there are still constant conversations, but not on like a day-to-day, page-to-page basis.
Now...
It's a full-time job.
I want to talk to you about a topic that I've bent your ear about many times in the Wall Street Journal, but, you know, athletes and style.
Yeah.
And it's my contention, Will Welch, that, you know, when I began at GQ, you know, the athletes were kind of frowned upon from the style community. The standard refrain was like, what am I going to design for these, like, 6'6" guys? Are you kidding me? And I would argue now, from our Russell Westbrooks to our LeBron James, Dwayne Wades, and so on, these guys are style avatars in a way that actors once were. They've actually supplanted actors. They're more fashion forward, it seems, and labels have kind of caught up to that.
Absolutely. I think that's true. And it's been interesting to see it from the sort of inside the fashion world perspective. Because at GQ, we've been very closely charting like the rise of NBA style
Then
some of the players from the other leagues getting in on the act. But the fashion world has definitely taken notice. And I would say, to generalize, they went from being a little wary of it to just being like, how can we get involved? Because the fact of the matter is that what those guys are wearing is like driving sales on department store floors.
Look at, you know, here we are in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I find it hilarious that players have admitted in public that they actually raise their game for the playoffs,
absolutely,
much in the same way they do on the floor.
They actually play defense.
Yeah. But they raise their game fashion-wise, too. And, you know, arrivals now are as significant as they are for – it is the male Met Gala. I mean, you know,
totally.
Russell Westbrook showing up at the Chesapeake whatever the hell it's called, Chesapeake Arena, Oil Arena, whatever it is. You know, I find out what he's wearing within seconds of his arrival.
Yeah, the GIF is on the Twitter account immediately, and then it's jokes galore, and it's a good time. The great thing about Russell is he is one of those, like – I mean, he dresses like he plays, which is a little out of control.
Yes.
That you need that to really drive the culture, you know. It lets other guys take lesser risks.
And we should point out that his interest in fashion, this is not some sort of hobbyist, like, you know, like he's got a few talking points kind of thing. This is a guy who is probably going onto websites that I definitely don't know, but you probably do, and can give you lookbooks galore, right?
Absolutely. One, I was in Milan at the men's fashion shows. I talked to Tom for a moment. and Russell was there sitting front row. I think it was a Ferragamo show, and I went up and talked to him afterwards, and we were talking about, you know, the off season and all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, man, you know, like, what are those boots? And he was like, ASOS, $19. And then we went and did the math, and he was making a very strong poncho-related fashion statement, but he was very proud, and I was very impressed that the whole thing was under $150. So the guy, you know, he's having fun with it across the board. And I thought that was pretty cool. That's something for the kids.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, magazines, like every publication nowadays, it's all about reader relationships, Will. I don't know if anyone's given you this speech, you know, as you've taken
now
this job.
Now is as good a time
you
as
know,
any.
We cannot rely upon the advertisers. Advertisers are still very, very important part of the, you know, metabolism here, but reader relationships are where it's at. And what are your readers craving? You know, what do they look for? Who are they influenced by?
I think with GQ Style, the problem we were trying to solve is that there wasn't a place that understood just how advanced men's taste had become in matters of art, design, travel, clothes, all that stuff.
Right.
So we were trying to like take, you know, it's not a huge circulation, so we're not trying to speak to 10 million people every issue. Speak to a smaller subset that's really knowledgeable and passionate and then like get all the way into it.
Yeah.
And business, too. There's a piece, we did a Q&A with Maverick Carter. In the first issue.
Which was newsmaking because you busted open this factoid about the $1 billion Nike deal.
That's right.
Now, has anyone called you up and said, I can't believe you printed that, Will Welch?
No, there hasn't been any sort of backlash like that.
In fairness, Yeezy did have it in facts, I believe. He said billion in there.
Yeezy said a billion. Mavericks asked our writer, Mark Anthony Green, what are they saying? He said, well, Kanye said a billion, and Maverick just pointed to the sky.
I love the visual confirm.
Yeah, so the visual confirm, the finger in the air. And, you know, but Maverick's a guy who's living in, that's a guy with very advanced, high-flying tastes.
Sure.
Who's like constantly on private jets working from the airplane Wi-Fi. And that's like a whole new way of life enabled by the iPhone. And so I feel like there's a new generation with new ideas. So that's what we're trying to reflect in the magazine.
Are there things that completely never go out of style? You know, I think of, you know, the perennial type questions that get asked of GQ Style guy.
Yeah.
You know, what are the things that I need in my arsenal? Do I need a black suit? Do I need a blue suit? Do I need a pair of Buck shoes, et cetera?
I'm going to, you know, the black suit strangely has been completely out of style recently.
I agree, yeah.
It's been gone.
I just feel like I'm going to be waiting tables if I'm wearing
a black suit.
See,
that's the thing. You're going to look like you're waiting tables. I'm wearing a black suit. I'm usually wearing a black suit.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Sid Mashburn, the designer in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But
you got kind of a
week.
T-bone Burnett thing going on here. It's not really like a black suit like you're going to a funeral. You have
that's the whole idea,
you know,
Jason,
you look
to
like
wear
you
a black
produce
suit.
You're producing a country record.
Well, I feel like it today with this microphone here. It's good. But Sid Mashburn said he's introducing a black suit for the first time in a while. So I feel like the black suit, which is thought of as a perennial favorite, is actually coming back.
All right.
Yeah. But maybe don't do it with a white shirt and a black tie. Then you're going to look like a waiter.
Double-breasted blazer. Thoughts?
Yeah, if you can do it. It's not for everyone.
I saw, not to mention the competition, but Jay Fielden, he's the newly installed editor-in-chief Esquire magazine, rocking the double-breasted blazer, pinstriped, I believe, and looked pretty good.
I saw it. I thought he looked great.
You know,
the same photo.
I cannot pull that look off.
The DB is, that's what we call the double-breasted, a DB. Yeah. The DB.
There's another thing people
ladies
call
and gentlemen.
DB, yeah.
double-breasted, I feel like if you find one that fits you and put it on once, and you're just like, oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
That just means it's not for you. It's not for me. I know that. You know that.
Have you felt, even in the time that you've been doing this, and you're still a very young man, Will, but in the time that you've been doing this, that the reader has become even more sophisticated about fashion? I mean, we think of menswear as being this thing where these hopeless men turn themselves over to, like, you know, menswear concierge and say, just help me, tell me what to get. And yet I imagine that's no longer the case and that you really have to elevate. And the sort of rudimentary knowledge that we all sort of, you know, sort of repurposed in every different kind of way isn't enough anymore.
Yeah, it's a whole different pace, a whole different level of knowledge and information. When I think back about the stuff that we were doing every month when I got to GQ in 2007, when you were there, it was very like basics, like laying it out. And now it's advanced. And really what GQ Style, the whole reason we launched it is because people are ready for even more advanced.
I love how certain things that had come back when I was working at GQ have now come back again.
Nothing like what?
Well, in the current issue of a regular GQ, there is a thing about rock tees. And
right.
I'm like, oh, man. Because I remember there was that period of time on like Sunset Boulevard and Melrose where there were 700 like, you know, washed out rock and roll t-shirts. And now they're back.
Now we are old enough that there are people who have never heard Nirvana. And they're the ones wearing Nirvana t-shirts.
Let me ask you this. Can you wear Von Dutch ironically now?
You know, I feel like the ironic fashion thing has not come back, and I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
You probably could. There, you see people like Justin Bieber wearing trucker hats and stuff, so maybe it could be Von Dutch.
I've gone, this is what I'm into now, Will Welch. I'm into no label. That's my thing right now. Like, I'm wearing, okay, I have a black baseball cap, nothing on it. Okay, FlexFit, $7.99 on Amazon. I get more questions about it. I swear to you. People are like, what is that? Like, I was like, it's a hat with nothing on it. What do you want from me? It's like a radical statement.
This is what is, there are several companies who have made a mint doing just this, like Common Project sneakers, which I think retail for like $400. Yes. What they did is they said, what you can't find is just a sneaker.
Yeah.
No colors, no logos, no anything. And they made just a sneaker, and it was a runaway hit.
Just for $400, you too can be the owner of it. But they sell a hell of a lot of them.
If it weren't for FlexFit, I'm sure somebody would be doing $150 black FlexFit hats.
Have you ever stood in line for clothing?
No, man. Come on. Stand in line. I don't stand in line for much at all.
So, okay, you know, you're about in town, you know, and I'm down Lafayette every once in a while, and you see like 700 guys waiting outside of Supreme to get. Yeah. What is the deal?
It's a subculture, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a subculture that is still has an IRL in real life component to it. Like, those kids are after hoodies.
Let's do a little quiz with Will Welch here. I'm taking off my shoes and seeing if Will Welch can guess what these are. Do you know what these are?
It's a Nike Air Max of some description.
These are the Hiroshi Air Max.
Hiroshi.
Yeah. These are ultra rare, limited edition.
They are?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a sneakerhead.
See this? The Cortez. You're not a sneakerhead. No, that's interesting.
I see it's like a modified Cortez.
Yeah, so it's
I know
a
enough to know that.
Well, you don't want to know how much I paid on eBay for this thing. Okay?
Did you actually buy those on eBay?
I did.
So you have virtually waited in line.
And I have
to
lied to my wife so many times about whether or not they're
charges.
New pairs of sneakers. You have no idea. But it's an affliction.
Yeah, no, babe, you've seen these.
There are worse habits to have.
That's true.
Okay, we're not at the Buzz Bissinger Gucci level yet.
Yeah.
What is one object of desire you have out there for men's style right now, Will Welch?
I've been wearing suits almost every day, and I've been spending a little too much money on suits. But they're expensive, and you know you want to get nice ones.
But something you covet, something that you think, you know, like...
Oh, I'm a simple man. Like, what jeans do you wear? I wear Levi's. Yeah. That's my kind of thing. So yeah. I covet a gold Rolex.
Oh.
It's like watch.
Vintage or new?
The one I like is vintage, but it's not because it's vintage that I like it. It's an all-gold Rolex, 18 karat with a black dial.
Okay. So... Who's your next cover subject? Who's the current cover subject?
The current cover subject is Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, I've heard of him. Yeah. I know you can't reveal the next one, but GQ Style, it's out now. When will the next issue be out?
Fall, August 15th.
Okay, and I can't say this more strongly enough. Will is one of the sharpest guys in magazine world. There are still people making magazines, folks.
Even launching new ones.
GQ, one of the most established and esteemed brands in the business. I can't say enough about how smart the people that work there are. They were dumb enough to hire me, but smart enough that they still talk to me. And Will Welch... Best of luck with the GQ Style.
Thank you, man.
You got a call for the finals for, you know, right now we're looking at 2-2 Cavs, Raptors, and 2-1 OKC. Give me a finals winner.
Man, I can't think of anybody who wants to hear this, but I'm sticking with the Warriors.
No, it's not a bad bet. It's not a bad bet.
I'm rooting for the Cavs.
Yeah.
If I had to slap money on the table right now, Golden State Warriors.
Barkley said the other night after the Thunder had won that blowout win, he said, you know, this is actually a must-win for OKC Game 4, and it's weirdly right, as Barkley often is.
Yep.
Will Welch, GQ
Thanks,
Style,
Jason.
Thanks so much for being on the free-for-all.
Thank you, Jason.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.